brace yourself. You are about to enter Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise.
Free your ass, your mind will follow. Take it deep, now don't be shallow.
Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 122 on January 17th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. So I have a couple of suggestions that you listeners sent in regarding what to call your strap-on. The first one was an Indian version, East Indian. We named ours the Lady Lingam, and that is actually how it is referred to in India, and lingam is the male, is the penis, and I think it literally translates out in Sanskrit to loosely shaft of light or wand of light, so that's a pretty cool one. And then, let's see, we went for call, here's another one, we went for calling it her Shawini with a soft E, pronounced more like how Wayne and Garth would say Shawing, not pronounced like Sheweeny. So Shawini and Lingam, Lady Lingam. There you go. There's another couple of suggestions. Those are fun ones. Thanks for sending those in. Okay, we are going to jump right off into, are you ready? Hemorrhoids. Here we go. I have an internal hemorrhoid that has not caused an issue in years. It started bleeding yesterday, and in the preceding week, I'd been pegged twice, both times by larger dildos than I'd managed before. I'm sure that's not a coincidence. Are there some best practices for receiving anal while having hemorrhoids? I know there's various options on removing them, but I'm curious about any suggestions you might have. So here's what I know about hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids develop because of a lack of circulation in the affected area. So you've heard me talk about pelvic stress and pelvic tension, and that's so common that actually that is one of the reasons that it happens, as I understand it. And you can also aggravate it or perhaps push it further, if you will, by straining with bowel movements and things. So you want to have a lot of roughage in your diet so you have really good bowel movements. You know, where I learned a fair amount about hemorrhoids was I went to the original Aneros website, which I've mentioned before, is called highisland.com, and they have a whole thing there on hemorrhoids. They also have the study about the Aneros devices helping swollen prostate, but they talk about hemorrhoids as well, and they do rate them in terms of what they look like and where they are. So as I understand it, the ones that actually come out of your body are ones that are perhaps going to need surgery, but if you have them inside, then they can still be, hopefully, taken care of with this little device that they sell called a peristalsis, I think. I'll check on that for you, but and I'll have the link for it. But what it is it's a handheld device to basically massage the inner walls of the rectum, thereby increasing the circulation and thereby eliminating, hopefully and supposedly, the hemorrhoids. And I talked to actually the CEO of that company sometime back, and he talked about how a guy who had had really awful hemorrhoids his whole life came in practically in tears and thanked them because it really completely cleared up the problem. So that's what I know about it. It's not a lot. I do recommend that you go check out the website at High Island and read all about it because they do have a lot of information about it. Now, as far as pegging while having hemorrhoids, that's kind of a tough one. I mean, I think you should use just good sense, and if you can feel that they're swollen or irritated, that you probably shouldn't do any pegging. And chances are pretty good that doing pegging, especially with a toy a little bit bigger than what you're used to, is going to irritate it a little bit. But I don't know what to tell you guys. I just think that you should use kind of good sense and don't totally overdo it. If you know that your hemorrhoids are flaring up a little bit or you can feel them more than you usually can, then don't use the big toys, I guess, is what I would say. But, you know, Google it and check it out in terms of what other things you might be able to do to help the hemorrhoids themselves stay calm and not flared up. And hopefully get rid of them with that device. So yeah, I'll put the links in my Linkorama. And I think I have another. Yes, I do. I have another letter about hemorrhoids. It's a short one. I am deeply into pegging. Deeply was in quotes, which makes me laugh. I'm deeply into pegging, but I have an external hemorrhoid. I have been able to avoid or minimize bleeding by using lots of lube. Do you have any suggestions for the hemorrhoid challenged? Well, same, but since you have an external one, that's actually going to end up needing to have surgery before it's really completely cleared up, because I don't think that those are reversible. That's the word that I've been thinking about in my head and couldn't come out of my mouth, is reversible. So the external ones, when they're hanging out of you, are not reversible. So yeah, using a whole lot of lube, that's a great suggestion. But I do think that that one is going to need surgery before you'll be able to just go wild with the pegging. So that's all I have for you. Okay, so I told you guys, hey, just go ahead and Google it. And I can't stand it when I do that. So I got to dive in. And so I did some research for you on the hemorrhoid thing. It's really interesting, all the information that you can find about it and how it conflicts. So much of it conflicts. I even found a number of different references that anal sex causes hemorrhoids, which is patently untrue. Oh my God. So anyway, some of the things that I discovered are that contributing factors are constipation. So you really need to have a diet that's full of roughage so that you have good bowel movements. And obesity will sometimes cause it. Straining, sitting a lot, different stuff like that. So I don't think that really, okay, I'm not a doctor. There's my disclaimer. But I do think that all of the tension in this pelvic area is contributing to the so many people having hemorrhoids, because it's about 50% of people have them. And I can understand if it's perhaps a physical cause, like you had a pregnancy, and then I get that. But men, a lot of men have hemorrhoids as well. So that is not the only way that it can be caused. But the amount of misinformation on the internet still boggles my mind. The amount of misinformation on the internet that is ass-related, okay, just really kind of blows my mind. I found several references that anal sex can cause hemorrhoids, which is ridiculous. Can it irritate them? Yes. But will it cause them? Oh, hell no. And again, we're talking about doing anal sex with the boundaries that I keep talking about. We're not talking about shoving something in there and causing an anal fissure and saying, oh, gee, I caused some damage. See, anal sex can cause damage. You need to go slow. You need to go not too big. You need to have lots of lube. You need to use nothing sharp. And you never, ever, ever want to use numbing creams or lubrication. And also, you know, I probably should add one more rule onto that collection, and that is, please don't do anal intercourse for the first time just blasted on alcohol, because that numbs things out too. You don't have to put a numbing cream on your anus to be so numbed out that you're not really feeling it if it's painful. You can do that with alcohol. Really, really not recommended. Really not recommended. Because you know what? It's almost like there's this mindset of, oh my God, it's going to be painful, so I really don't want to have to deal with this, and I just want to have to get past that first part and then hopefully get to the pleasurable part. No, that first part doesn't have to be painful. It can be a really gradual, lovely, beautiful discovery of the pleasure your ass can give you, and you can open up that ass really slowly. Okay, so I'm off on one of my rants, clearly. But check out the information out there and keep an open mind. You know, I wanted to check back in and tell you guys, well, you know, I did some research and these are some of the things that I found. But one of the things I did find is to stop using paper as a wiper and use witch hazel astringent pads, which you can find in stores and a lot of times in the cosmetic section, like drugstores, because that causes the veins to constrict and it soothes everything, as opposed to irritates it with rough paper, because some toilet paper is rougher than others. So the things that I found that are supposed to be helpful for hemorrhoids, if you already have them, are the usual things. You know, the usual things that everybody says are good to do for just about everything. Exercise is one. More fiber, which I've already mentioned, a good diet. A lot of water is another one. And a good diet in terms of eliminating or not eating all of the bad things and eating all the good things. And along those lines, basically we're talking about red meat, we're talking about sugar, caffeine, coffee, alcohol, all the fun stuff, all the good stuff, and just eat a really healthy diet. So that can help. Those things can definitely help, especially the water and the fiber. Thanks for sending those questions in. And now we've got a phone call for you. Woohoo!
This is David. I just want to see, I got a big dildo. I want to see how far deep I can get it in there. From San Antonio, give me a call back.
Oh, David, I can't help but think that you were sitting there with that big dildo waiting for my call back. And here I am, like days and days later, finally responding to this on my podcast. So here is the deal about big, long dildos and what you can do with them. First of all, you need to follow the cardinal rules, which I went over with these last messages about hemorrhoids. But also, here is some physiological information for you. So what happens when you put something deep into your ass is that you will run into that second sphincter, which is called Hirsch's sphincter, and it is at the end of the rectal canal. So if you have a really long dildo, this is what the area that you're playing around with. This is the sphincter that basically keeps the excrement up in your colon and then occasionally opens up to let it out, and then it leaves the body, right? So you are basically, with a really long toy, going to push through Hirsch's sphincter. Now, what I've heard about that is that if the angle is not quite right, then it's a painful thing. I've heard that some men love it, some men hate it. You kind of have to play with it. You have to do it slowly. And you have to remember that right around there, the colon sort of takes a right turn. Now, the colon kind of hangs around in there, and it is a bit movable. We all have seen those videos of men who take humongous dildos up their ass, and you're just so blown away that it's not like coming out their mouth or something. So it can be done, but it must be done carefully and slowly. Some men talk about how it's just the most amazing feeling when you push through that sphincter very carefully and slowly. So it's not a slam through it thing. So the short answer to your question is, you know, you've got a really big dildo. You didn't say how big. Can you put the whole thing inside you? Yes, but you probably should work up to it, and you probably should do it really slowly. And if you keep doing it and it keeps hurting, don't do it. Even if you're following the cardinal rules, if you keep trying it and it keeps being painful, then it's not for you. I don't think that there is one rule that really applies to everybody except for those cardinal rules in terms of you should be able to do this with your ass. No, everybody has a different kind of an ass. So there you go. I hope you've been having fun with that dildo, putting it partway in while you've been waiting for my response. And thank you for using my call-in line. I don't usually call people back. I put it on my podcast. So like I said, I hope you haven't been waiting forever. Okay, next letter. I first engaged in pegging in an encounter in May of 2015. I was curious about doing it, and a woman I was seeing at the time agreed to use a strap-on on me. She used a 9-incher, and we tried it from the doggy style and roll reversal positions, as shown on the website below. And then he linked to a place called takeitlikeaman.com. It was the most incredible sexual experience I ever had, especially when I was on my back with the pillow under my ass as I wrapped my legs around her from the roll reversal position. The intimacy we felt seeing each other face to face, tongue kissing as she pumped my ass with her strap-on cock, was amazing. She turned me out that night and made me realize, I wonder if that should be she turned me on that night. It made me realize how much I enjoyed bottoming for women. That experience made me realize my true fetish, and I know it is real, as I found out I am more sexually articulate when discussing it with the women I am talking to. Since then, I have been seeking relationships with women who are into pegging that prefer being a top. If the woman I end up marrying tops me every night in bed, I will be a happy husband. The podcast statement by you in this blog reassures me that my sexual preferences are not strange or perverse, and is simply something that desires intimate, good, consensual fun between me and a woman. I feel completely secure in what I prefer sexually, and feel you are right in saying we should dismiss any judgmental sorts who try to mislabel this desire and practice. Your blog is the best, Ruby. I look forward to learning everything possible from it. I'm so glad that you took that away from my blog about forget all the people that are trying to judge us and tell us that we're wrong or weird or strange or different. And as I've said before on this blog, on this podcast, I did that for decades. So listen to me, everybody. Don't do it yourself. It's a waste of time. Big waste of time. And your desires are what they are. And as long as it's consensual and it's not harming anyone and everybody's having a good time, why not? And if pegging is what you want to do, then I actually believe that you're the brave ones, because it's a kind of a tough thing for men to get past all those taboos and judgments that society would put on you if they knew, and just take a deep breath and explore. So good for you that you've done that, and I support you 100%. Sounds like you had a great first experience in May of 2015, so good for you. And now, guess what? Pegging celebration time! Hi, Ruby. I'm writing to give you my appreciation for all you do with your blog and podcasts and all the information you freely give. My wife and I tried pegging for the first time last night, and it was magical. She told me she really fucking liked it and can't wait until I ask her to do it again. I didn't have a mind-blowing orgasm during the pegging itself, but definitely did from the blowjob after. But I wasn't expecting to, because I know we have just started to learn and explore this new aspect of our sex life together. Learning about anal play for both partners and all the pleasures that it brings has brought our relationship of over 15 years to a whole new level of intimacy and trust that is hard to describe. The information I was able to find from your blog, and especially podcast number 112 for the ladies, helped to answer many of our questions and concerns, and helped us make the best choices for equipment and making the time enjoyable. Please keep up the good work and happy pegging. Well, good for you. Again, I love getting these letters, so I really appreciate everybody who sends them in. The ones where you've been married for a really long time and all of a sudden this takes you to a whole new world of pleasures and deepening of intimacy. I love hearing that. Because, you know, otherwise, how many magazine articles have been written and books have been written about what to do sexually when your marriage gets to that place where, okay, we've kind of done it all and, you know, things are getting a little bored, things are getting a little predictable. Well, yeah. About that point, you bring pegging into the picture and predictable goes out the window. Predictable becomes a word you can't ever describe your sex life as being anymore because you have that option. And I don't know, in my world anyway, and those of you who are listening most likely, it's such an exciting place to be. It's such an exciting option. It's not just like, okay, you know, we're not doing the regular sex stuff anymore. We're going to, I don't know, put whipped cream on each other or something like that. You know, pegging is like a whole new echelon of sexual exploration. I'm so happy for the two of you and thank you very much for writing in. Okay, next letter. First, thank you, Ruby, for all you do. Wow, you guys are so sweet. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm getting a lot of thanks tonight and I appreciate all of them. Thank you, Ruby, for all you do. My wife and I had tried pegging maybe a dozen years ago, and it just didn't really go anywhere, though the interest never waned. Your blog gave us the real non-porn information to try it again, and it's opened the door to many new experiences. Second, I was recently watching Spartacus: Vengeance, which is season 4. The show is certainly for mature audiences with lots of blood and fighting, but also an occasional good old-fashioned Roman orgy. In season 4, episode 1, at about 22 minutes, we see a Roman walking through a brothel past several folks engaged in sexual activity. There is a woman with a large strap-on that shoves it right up a guy's ass as he's going down on another woman. My wife and I have watched this scene several times already. She said I simply must tell you about it, so there you go. Okay, Spartacus is on my list. And it's on my list because of the sex, quite frankly. A gay friend of mine said, hey, if you like beautiful male bodies and lots of sex, you have to watch this. So it's on my list, but I just haven't had time. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to skip to season 4, episode 1 at about 22 minutes. But it's good to know that that's there. And when I start watching it, you can bet I'm going to have that episode marked and look out for it. So anybody out there who's listening who does watch Spartacus and remembers that scene, or perhaps has the collection of all the episodes and wants to go check it out. Tell us what you think. I love finding examples of pegging in TV. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So thanks for letting us know. And I've got something to look forward to even more than the hot male bodies and lots of sex. If they throw a little pegging in there, that might just kick it up higher in my to-watch list. Okay. And I got so distracted by the Spartacus thing that I definitely still want to mention. I'm so pleased that you both revisited the whole idea of pegging, tried it again, and managed to get through the whole porn thing, get beyond it, and find some real pleasure and enjoyment in it. Good for you guys. I'm happy for you both. You know, when I preach about the benefits of pegging and the pleasures it can bring to couples, one of the things I always talk about is the deepening of intimacy. And these letters are proof of it. You know, I'm not just talking out my ass. I'm really not, even though that would be a good place to talk out of at a Pegging Paradise podcast. Perhaps not my ass, perhaps his ass, but then it wouldn't be me talking, so let's forget that whole idea. My point being, yes, it really brings a whole new world of experiencing sexuality into your relationship. And it does absolutely deepen intimacy, or it certainly can. So thanks for writing in. I appreciate you giving me the heads up about Spartacus, as well as sharing your story.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
And another letter. Hello, Ruby. I just recently found your page through Reddit response from you on the pegging interests. I immediately listened to your podcast number 112 for the women. After a few weeks of thoughts, I sent the link to my wife this evening. I had experienced pegging previously from my ex-wife and found it to be mind-blowing. I, like many others, found anal play to be enjoyable purely by accident. One of my ex-girlfriends long ago stuck a finger in my ass while going down on me. I think my eyes rolled back in my head and I've been hooked ever since. My ex-wife was as freaky as one could be, and one night she had gotten blown off by a lady interest she was pursuing, and she had her strap on with her. She said, "Well, damn, maybe you would like to take her place." I didn't act too eager, but my dick jumped at the mention of it. I played coy and let her feel like she talked me into it. Afterwards, we enjoyed it on a regular basis. Anyway, fast forward to now. My wife and I have been together for going on 8 years and married since April of 2013. She enjoys anal play and anal sex occasionally. Her mind is blown when I stick my tongue in her ass, and she loves it. We've discussed pegging before we were married. The reason was because my ex blabbed it everywhere after we split up. My ex used it as an attempt to get what she wanted in the divorce and blackmail me. I refused, and she told everyone. I had friends asking me about it almost immediately after I refused to cooperate with her demands. That's how my current wife found out about it. She asked me, and I told her the truth. I said, I don't expect you to understand it, but it is something I like, so I'll be honest about it with you. It kind of freaked her out, but didn't run her off. She, however, wasn't interested in trying it any time soon because she said it was just weird. Up front, my wife was abused as a child. We grew up in a very small town and grew up around one another. We have had many ups and downs around her abuse during our relationship. It has had long-lasting effects on her in the bedroom to this day. I've never pushed her to do anything, although I do get upset from time to time, because I give and give to anything she wants, but she's very reluctant to give me things, because they were forced on her when she was abused. I truly believe she feels badly about not being able to bring herself around to doing all the things I like. One example is a blowjob. She will suck me, but not for long, and won't let me finish. I respect that, although it has been difficult, because I've always been used to women that would do almost anything. But I understand, and we are very open communication-wise. She knows what I want and says she feels bad because she wants to please me, but it just freaks her out because of her past. We have successfully played with butt plugs during regular sex, and she has come around to that idea, but she wants no part of inserting the plug in me. She freezes during the act. She's fine with me putting one in her. She's even used my Aneros while I made love to her. We have fun in the bedroom, and I've stepped up my pegging talk in the last couple of months. I think she's on the verge, and I hope your podcast brings her around. It's taken years to get where we are now. What I want to say is thank you for the tool to use in podcast number 112 as a way for some of us to gently nudge our lovers to tell them more about pegging. I have used the podcast because if I push too hard, she will shut down and won't discuss it further, or could possibly reject it altogether. I told her to listen to it when she was ready. Do you have any advice in this area dealing with someone that has been abused and asking them to do an act such as pegging? It's a very delicate balancing act, and I don't want to run her off the idea, but the anticipation is killing me. I love her more than anything in the world, and I want her to be happy and feel comfortable with our sex life, but at the same time, I want to take to the next step. Wow, that's quite a letter. Well, okay, the very, very first thing that kept coming up in my mind the entire time I was reading that letter, as soon as I came across the part that mentioned that she had been abused, is counseling. Really, really, really need counseling. This is a situation where to try and navigate your way through the after effects of the abuse surrounding your sex life could be really dicey, could be really delicate, and best done with the help of a professional, in my opinion. Mostly because they know where to look, they know what to look out for, and can help you with pacing and trying out new things and checking to see what her response is. And I definitely think counseling is in order, both her by herself and you together, so that she feels completely free to speak with the counselor about how she's feeling, and then you two going together to work things out and see what you can do in terms of doing a little more exploring. But you are a patient man, and I really respect how delicately you have treated this whole situation. One of the things I could recommend to you while you wait is to try out some of the methods in the previous podcasts. I remember a man wrote in several podcasts ago talking about, okay, for those who have partners that are not into it, and yours I would put in the hopeful category if she's not into it yet, or you have a partner who's into it, but she's not into it that night. So this man was looking for a way to fuck himself, basically. And I went over those in that podcast, and there's a number of different choices with cushions that hold dildos. And actually, I'm exploring a recently received, it's not exactly a sex machine because that would make it electric. It is a sex rocker, and I'm pretty excited about it. I have not had a guy try it out yet, and that is one of the things that I have it for, is to do a pegging review on it. But I think it's going to be an awesome thing for guys who have partners that won't do this act to be able to feel more like they're actually getting fucked. So I'll let you know how that goes. But that's an option anyway, while you're working through this. And I respect how much you respect her position. And I wish you the best of luck with that. I do hope that podcast number 112 is a help for you. Who knows, it may turn things around a little bit, but thank you very much for writing in and sharing that story. Okay, the next letter. There's so many mentions of podcast number 112. It's really getting out there for the people to listen to, which I'm thrilled about. So here's the next one. My boyfriend sent me your podcast last week, which I loved. And since then, I've been going through your backlog of podcasts, and I'm on number 112 for the ladies. I know he enjoys pegging, and I would love to provide him the pleasure in that way. I'm not very dominant, usually. He wants me to act the way he does when he is on top. The second time I pegged him, I became flustered and frustrated because he kept asking me to be aggressive and not so sweet. I resented him for doing that and provided very little aftercare, which I regret. I can't find it in myself to be a good dom. Do you have any tips on how I can get into that mindset? Thank you for your podcast. You've opened my mind and definitely made me more sex positive. And then she wrote back and said, okay, I just found podcast number 116. I missed it. Guess I'm not the only one with this issue. And in podcast number 116, I did speak to a woman who had that exact question. How can I be more dominant? I think it was in conjunction with some other questions. But the point is, I went through a whole bunch of different ways to be more dominant. But let's get back to your letter. So one of the things that I would suggest that you talk with your husband about is that your learning curve in learning how to fuck him is very steep, and you would appreciate his patience, you would appreciate his suggestions, and his support. Now, the suggestions part, I am just talking about technique, positions, what makes it easier, how to move, how to position your body. He knows all those things because he's been fucking his whole life, right? So he needs to be more understanding that this learning curve is very steep for you. I totally get why you get flustered. In the beginning, it feels really awkward and strange, and it's difficult. So yeah, he needs to know that and respect that and give you some space around that. So that is, I don't know, I would suggest that you learn how to do the fucking first and just have him be patient. Ask him, please, to be patient with that. And then once you get the hang of the fucking part, then you can play around with the dominance. If you let him know, okay, look, I'm down with that, and I have a bunch of suggestions that I'd like to try, but really I'd like to learn how to fuck first so that I feel really comfortable with it. It's hard to come off as dominant if you don't know what the hell you're doing. In fact, I would imagine it's almost impossible. You can certainly pretend to be dominant, but I think the flow would more naturally go towards learning how to do it first and then kicking the dominance in after that. And that way you two can find some ways that work for both of you. Another thing that I suggest is when you talk with him about the dominance part, get specifics. Get specifics as to exactly what he means when he says, I want you to act more aggressive. Well, that can mean so many different things to so many different people. If he's got a vision in his head about what he wants you to be like, then it would be awesome if he could share that vision with you really, really clearly. Example, when you're fucking me from behind in doggy style, instead of being really careful about it, I want you to grab my hips and pull me to you like this. And, you know, show you by fucking you from behind and doing doggy style, right? Show you that and give you an example. That's the clarity I would hope for him to be able to relay to you. Or, you know, when I want you to take my hands and hold them down, I want you to push me down on the bed while you fuck me, whatever he's got in his head, that is something that he's envisioning that would turn him on. And then there's all the suggestions I did put in podcast number 116. So play around with those and maybe share those ideas with him in that podcast. And you guys talk about it. Because like I said, there's a bunch of different ways to be dominant. And you know, I've been thinking about it. I think I'm going to do a podcast for the women whose partners want to include dominance in the pegging formula. And it will be specifically geared towards women who really have never been dominant before and are a little bit lost. I certainly felt that way myself, and so I'm happy to share my journey with you. And that came in the form of those suggestions in 116. So see how those work and let us know how it goes. Let us know what works for you and how the communication went. Good luck to you and have fun, you know. Try to have fun more than that. That part's more important than anything, because if you can continue to laugh and have a good time, then it's not all so serious. And I would have been a little offended if he kind of kept telling me I was doing it wrong or implied that. So try to get the humor back into it and have a great time. Okay. Thanks for writing in. You know what? The forum is just about ready on my podcast. I think within the next few days that it should be up and running. Now, I have moderated in a forum board before. I am one of the moderators at the Reddit pegging threads, but I've never had one on my own website. I'm not sure what it's all going to look like. I have a little bit of fear about it. I'm a little bit of trepidation. Because I want it to be just right, and I want it to be a place that's easy to get through and easy to navigate, and then everybody can come and have a good time. But I've just given my web wizard the forum topics, the subjects, and those will be the main subjects that will divide up the conversations into, even though I know there's going to be a whole bunch of overlap. I do believe that it's going to be completely separate from people who have registered on my website and my blog already. I think that it's a separate thing to go in and register for the forum, but I'm going to get like a detailed step-by-step description about exactly how to do it, and then I'm going to post that as a blog post, and then the next podcast I do, I'll basically read it to you as well. So for the people who only listen to the podcast, it'll be covered both ways, and it'll be on the blog. So, exciting times. Pegging Forum. I participated in a number of them, and I almost created one on another website, and then I realized that, no, I really, really needed to have it on my website. So, I'm really excited about it, and that's going to happen very, very soon. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that I am still working on and almost ready. Everything's happening at once. Almost ready to do webinars. So for all of you lovely people out there who know that I am never going to come to your town and teach, this is the deal. Webinars. It's going to be so cool. So I'm working with an online provider of that service. And I know I mentioned it last time I did a podcast as well, getting a little bit closer, you know, finalizing some things. I'm going to do a couple of test runs, and then I'll announce the first classes and things. I think I'm probably going to limit the number of people in the first classes so that I don't get overwhelmed. It's not that I expect a zillion people to sign up. It's more like these are my first few classes doing the webinar thing. So there might be a little hiccups with technology and stuff like that. And I'd just rather have a smaller crowd than a big, huge one. But later, oh yeah, bring on the big, huge. You know, there's so many innuendos with pegging. It just cracks me up. Bring on the big, huge later. Yeah, okay. There's so many of those. It just, yeah, eternally makes me giggle. Sometimes I'm giggling about it with someone who has no idea that I'm a sex educator and teach about pegging because, yes, my life is not totally out yet. It's getting there. It's getting there. So, okay, what else? I went to the ANMA show, Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, and that was last Monday. Saw a lot of way cool things, a lot of new things, and I'm going to have a whole list of those to talk about the next podcast that I do. because that's why we go to those shows, Tiffany and I, Tiffany from Entice Me, because we're looking for new things for to put up on the website, new things to talk about and to use and to recommend. And it's always entertaining. It's always fun because I get to see all my friends there, people I've come to know over the years, the manufacturers. And it's just really, really exciting to see the new ideas that they have. So look forward to that. And let's see what else. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about a slice of my private life. Because, you know, I mentioned I'm going to try and get stuff done in the next few days. Well, it's probably not going to be done until the middle or the end of this coming week. Because I have someone flying in from Chicago to meet me. I went on OkCupid. I answered all the questions and weighted them correctly so that their algorithms could work. Because if you didn't know it, OkCupid has lots of questions about kinky sex. It gets really specific about receiving anal sex. It gets really specific about BDSM. So I thought I would give OkCupid one more try. And I had been on it for, I don't know, about a month or so. And a man approached me and, oh, me and long distance, you guys have been through all these podcasts and you've heard about these long distance things, but there was a 99% match. It's not just the numbers that I'm going by. There was sufficient interest between the two of us and just practically a completely perfect alignment of our desires and kinks and the questions and answers and all that kind of stuff, that I decided to engage with this man and start talking with him. Mostly we decided to start talking because he can live anywhere. And this is one of the considerations. So he is actually flying in from Chicago to meet me. And I'm totally, totally excited. It's going to happen tomorrow night. I will get this podcast posted before he gets here. And then you're not going to see me for a few days. So whatever I said I would get done in a few days, yeah, that's not going to happen because the guy from Chicago is going to be here. And I haven't given him a name yet. Perhaps I will just call him the guy from Chicago. But I'm thinking after these few days he might have a name. We'll see how it goes. So yeah, I'm going to check out, have some fun. Have some really, really good fun. Just take some personal time. This is, you know, that gives that phrase a whole new meaning. I'm going to take some personal time. Wow, if taking personal time away from your job was that fun, because I'm totally projecting, yes, I do think it's going to be quite a lot of fun. There's always the possibility that we could walk up, meet each other, and go, wow, this chemistry is just not happening. But I kind of doubt that that's going to happen. So, I want you all out there to cross your fingers for me, and your toes, and everything, that I have a good time, that it ends up being something that's worthwhile, and yes, and all of those wonderful things that go after that. And I think I'm going to leave it here. It's a bit of a shorter podcast for you. I've got you so spoiled with these hour-long podcasts, but this one is, you know, guy from Chicago, what can I say? So there's links on my blog for you to follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. There's a Facebook link. I have a page and a profile. You guys have been liking my page. Thank you. Thank you. You can also subscribe to my blog right there to the left of that front page. And you can listen to me on iTunes, or if you don't like the evil iTunes machine, my podcast is available through all kinds of podcast downloader apps, whether you have an iPhone or an Android. Or it can be streamed directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. When you check out the products that I talk about in the podcast by following the links on my Linkorama, please remember that purchasing them through Entice Me guarantees you're going to have the highest quality, body-safe, non-toxic pleasure products, and you will be supporting my work here at Pegging Paradise as well. You know, the podcast number 112, all the stuff that I do for you guys, and I'm so happy to do it. And don't forget to use the coupon code RUBY for 20% off. You can call me at 805-500-6544 with all your questions, comments, stories, successes, fears, wonderings, and adventures. Or you can write all that stuff down and send it to me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you always, always for downloading and listening. You're all the best. Happy pegging.